Welcome back to The Takeaway. I'm Melissa Harris-Perry. The Ukrainian refugee crisis continues. The United Nations estimates that 14 million people have fled their homes since the Russian invasion began. 6 million of them have left their country, becoming part of a global refugee population of over 100 million people. This Memorial Day weekend, there's a special benefit concert in Cambridge, Massachusetts, to raise funds for Ukrainian refugees. The performance will feature an orchestra composed primarily of refugees or descendants of refugees, performing music by refugee composers.
The Refugee Orchestra Project was started initially as a way to raise money for refugee aid during the Syrian refugee crisis.
This is Lydia Yankovskaya, founder of the Refugee Orchestra Project.
So the Refugee Orchestra Project showcases music by refugee composers throughout history and today, and showcases living refugee artists from across the world and from various refugee crises around the world.
As a group, refugees living in the U.S. are ethnically, religiously, and linguistically diverse. But many have similar experiences of persecution, trauma, and loss. When the talented musicians of the Refugee Orchestra Project come together, what they create is magnificent. Oh, my homeland, she sings, I shall never see you again. Conductor Lydia Yankovskaya came to the U.S. in the mid-90s when she was 9 years old, after spending her early childhood in St. Petersburg, Russia.
Russia in the 90s in general was really falling apart. After the fall of the Soviet Union, there was not a clear system or transition put in place. So overnight, there was this complete economic collapse. And any time that there is a societal or and economic collapse of this sort, people tend to want to blame somebody. And often that somebody is whoever represents the largest ethnic minority. In Petersburg at the time, about 30% of the population was Jewish. And I don't mean that as a religious designation, but as an ethnic designation. So passports would say on it under nationality, Jewish, not Russian, no matter how many hundreds of years your family had lived in that part of the world. And I remember as a child, for instance, going to choir rehearsals several times a week and passing by Catherine Square, which is this beautiful big square right in the middle of the city. And there would be demonstrations there with Nazis flying swastikas on giant flags and handing out brochures that said, kill all the Jews on them. The Jews are to blame for all of our problems. Kill the Jews. And it was very easy for educational institutions to bar Jews from participating in various opportunities. So my mom realized that as a child and growing up that I would have continue to face certain barriers, and we chose to relocate to the United States.
We also spoke with the pianist and composer who wrote one of the pieces the orchestra will perform on Monday.
My name is Milad Yusufi, and I'm the composer of The Dear Kabul.
Milad arrived in the U.S. more recently, having spent his childhood in Afghanistan.
I grew up back in Kabul, Afghanistan, and the situation there was a civil war, and it was like the city was almost like 90% destroyed, and we were lucky to be among survivors, and everything when the Taliban were ruling, music and art and everything banned. I was very artistic at that time, so my father realized that, and unfortunately I could not do anything about it, but I think I had an imagination. I used to play piano on a piece of paper and pretend to play, and I used to play drums on my pillows every day and lock myself into my room, and that was my world.
After the Taliban was weakened during the U.S. war in Afghanistan, Milad was finally able to start true piano lessons at age 13. He began playing with the Afghan Youth Orchestra and made his first trip to the U.S. in 2013 and then again in 2014. Each time he played concerts in auspicious venues like Carnegie Hall, the Kennedy Center, and the New England Conservatory. But during a concert visit to the U.S. in 2015...
unfortunately, the day that I wanted to go back, the airport was bombed in Kabul. And I got a call from my family and friends encouraging me to stay. And because the situation got really worse at that time, and they encouraged me and told me that I have to seek asylum because my life will be in danger otherwise. So I had like a couple of $100 with my tuxedo and my laptop and applied for asylum. And since then I'm waiting. So I've been waiting for nearly 7 years now, and I still don't know when will be my interview. What happened in Ukraine was also affected the refugee world and the crisis that's going on around the world. So we who applied in 2015 are still waiting, and they prioritize other cases. For example, when the regime changed and people came from Afghanistan, I think 6 months ago, they also prioritized their cases. So we are still in backlog. And luckily, I applied for the extraordinary ability visa, which worked, and I'm hoping to have my interview soon.
Milad feels the Ukraine crisis at a deeply personal level.
I also have some friends in Ukraine who came to Afghanistan to for workshops to teach us music, and we collaborated. That when I think of them, it's just, I think it's really painful because it also triggered a lot of memory recently for me as a refugee. That when I, you know, hear the news or see the news, both Afghanistan and Ukraine, it's just heartbroken because I know what it feels when you see the death in front of your eyes and you see like, okay, next, I'm going to be next. It was wonderful to meet new people and to come to a safe place, but I think internally it's just, I feel like I'm in a hotel room and tomorrow I'm going to go home. I've been living with wonderful families throughout these years who have hosted me, but still it's just like, as much as one tries to feel settled or centered, but a part of me subconsciously is just longing for home. And when I have a dream, my dreams are all in my childhood house.
Whew, okay, let's take a quick break. More with the Refugee Orchestra Project in just a moment.
There are four questions Jews ask to mark Passover every year. This Passover is leading many of us to ask more questions, once tied to our identity as Jewish Americans. I'm Matt Katz, and on the next Notes from America, we'll talk about hard conversations happening in Jewish communities right now, how we can heal our divisions, and why this Passover feels different. Available wherever you get podcasts.
I'm Melissa Harris-Perry. As always, thank you for spending part of your day with us on The Takeaway. That's Russian-born Zhanna Akhalzova singing Mano. The lyrics, lonely, lost, abandoned, in desolate land. We're continuing our conversation about the Refugee Orchestra Project as the orchestra prepares for its Memorial Day benefit concert to raise funds for Ukrainian refugees. Still with me is conductor Lydia Yankovskaya. She told us about the upcoming Memorial Day performance in Cambridge, Massachusetts.
All of the composers whose work we're performing were themselves refugees. And that includes well-known Italian composers who were political refugees from various Italian city-states throughout their lives. We also have music by Béla Bartók. We have music by Irving Berlin, who came from Eastern Europe to escape the pogroms at the turn of going into the 20th century, and who's really seen as, in many ways, as a father of much of contemporary popular music. We, in addition to this, will feature music by Ukrainian composers, a number of Ukrainian composers, including Hulak Artemovsky, whose opera Zaporozhe Za Dunayem speaks about themes of refugees and different ethnic groups that come together in Ukraine. Ukraine is very much a multi-ethnic society and culture.
All of the soloists and most of the musicians performing on Monday are refugees themselves. And as Lydia explained, there are also some performers, like one singer who, while not a refugee himself, has four grandparents who were. And he exists only because they were able to get to the United States as refugees.
One of the beautiful things about music is that you don't need to come from the same cultural or linguistic background or even the same musical background to perform together as a group. Music, more than even most art forms, can bring people together in a way that most things cannot. So we are able to mix musical styles and bring people from really varied backgrounds who are all professional musicians functioning at a very high level, but who bring that richness of experience to our music making. So through music, we are able to not just bring people together in the orchestra, but to expose those who are coming to our concerts to a wide range of experiences, to a wide range of emotions. It's very powerful to see someone who is of a different culture, of a different background from across the world, sing or play in a powerful way about their experience. And because it is solely focused on that emotional journey, I think audiences are much more receptive to sympathize with the person they see on the stage, even if that individual is nothing like them.
Lydia has seen the power of these connections since the very beginning of the Refugee Orchestra Project.
I was really blown away by the reaction we received to our first concerts. At the very beginning, we thought it would be a one-off fundraising concert and maybe people would be excited about it and then that would be that. But the reaction from the audiences and from the players was just overwhelming. First of all, within the players themselves, being joined in a community of other refugees making music, because many of us have our own refugee communities of people who come from the same region, but few of us get an opportunity to come together with others who are from totally different communities from across the globe, but who have experienced a similar kind of journey. But also among the audience members, we had people who maybe came because they were from a region that was represented on the concert or because they had interest in a style of music that was specific to some region around the world. And because the audience itself is so mixed in terms of people's musical backgrounds, their cultural backgrounds, their ethnic backgrounds, and their linguistic backgrounds, we have a much richer experience in terms of audience interaction than is often the case in any kind of concert. Our audiences are so enthusiastic. They're also so glued to what is happening.
For Lydia, who was a young child in Russia before coming to the United States as a refugee at just 9 years old, this concert is especially personal.
The fact that this current project is tied to the war in Ukraine is, of course, very personal for me. I spent all of my childhood summers in Ukraine. I still have so much family in Ukraine scattered all over the country now trying to get out. So for me, this particular concert and this moment hits home more than any other concerts that we've done. Always there's that personal side of it, but a lot of what we've been doing has also been my way of giving back to the many musicians who are experiencing very current refugee crises. With this concert, I feel a much closer link to what is happening and to the impact of the war. And of course, in many ways, actually, that makes it much more difficult to perform because as an artist, you have to find this balance between throwing yourself into the art, but also having a slight distance from it and perspective so that you can give the most to the audience, because what we do is about giving to the audience, not just doing it purely for ourselves. So I find that that is a challenge with this current situation.
And while the crisis in Ukraine is personal to Lydia, she hopes the concert is a reminder that these crises are indeed personal for all of us.
Through this concert, there's an opportunity for us to put faces to the crises. So often we see the news channels or we think of war as something that happens far away across the world. But here we will have an opportunity for audience members to see an actual person, to hear that person pour out their soul through music, to hear that person also speak about their experience from the stage. And that in itself, that very close personal link, that connection, that thing that we all miss so much throughout the pandemic is essential. And that is the thing that can help us prevent war, I believe.
Our thanks to Lydia Yankovskaya and Milad Yousafi. You can find out more about the upcoming performance at refugeeorchestraproject.org. Okay, that's it for today's show, and we appreciate you spending part of your day with us. And as always, if you miss anything or you want to listen back again, check out our podcast. It's available wherever you find audio. And be part of our social media conversations as well by following us on Twitter or Instagram at The Takeaway. And be sure to join us on Monday for our special Memorial Day edition of The Takeaway. I promise you don't want to miss the terrific conversations we have planned for you. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Melissa Harris-Perry, and this is The Takeaway. Be safe and be kind to one another. We all need it right now. Mm-hmm.